After hearing poet Sekou Sundiata talk about his kidney transplant, we wanted to meet the woman who donated her kidney. So before we hear more from Sundiata, we're going to talk with his good friend and manager, Katia Stitt. Stitt's clients have included Entezaki Shange, Lester Bowie, Defunct, and Sweet Honey in the Rock. She directs the Smithsonian Institution's Jazz Oral History Program, and she's the daughter of jazz saxophonist Sonny Stitt. Katia Stitt had known Sundiata for only 2 years when she offered her kidney. Not long after her surgery, she met her husband Sven. They now have an 18-month-old daughter. Katia told me more about the transplant dinners, the gatherings between Sundiata and his friends who had offered to be organ donors. She said after 4 of the friends found they had the right blood type for donation, the tone of the dinners changed.
That's when you felt the tension of like, okay, what are we going to do here? Who is really going to, I think we all were willing to step up to the plate, but who was really, okay, going to take the plunge? And I think somehow I said, well, I really don't mind doing it. And I also think at that time in my life, my lifestyle probably lended itself to doing it because I was single, because I wasn't a mother yet, because I was in a very good place with my business and working for myself. I had other clients, but I had other clients that knew of Sekou, knew that this might be a possibility and were all being very supportive. So it was just, you know, the conditions were right. And I can't remember how we didn't, you know, draw straws or something like this, but there was a moment when we said, okay, Katia will do it and then Bill will be her backup. So we actually have a pack that if something happened to my remaining kidney, then Bill would donate to me. So that's how we went into it. And then whomever was the donor would also be taken care of by the other three.
And so they took care of you?
Yeah, very well. Very well, yeah.
What was the process of recovery like?
It was not very difficult, believe it or not. I mean, there are sometimes complications for some donors, but I think that's very rare. For me, it was very easy. I had done a lot of preparing beforehand. I had done a lot of, I do a lot of fasting and cleansing, and I'd done a lot of, I do a lot of juicing anyway, but I had done a juice fast right before, and I kind of had all my homeopathic things I needed, and just had read an awful lot, so I was very educated going into the process, so I knew what to expect. Mm-hmm. There was a funny moment after, a few days after the operation, I was still on the morphine from the pain for the pain, and I had gone to visit Sekou. Sekou and I were on opposite ends of the same wing, and they kept kind of donors on one side and those we were on recipients on the other for some strange reason. But I went to visit him. I was sitting in the chair talking to him, and then I started nodding off periodically, and Sekou kept laughing at me because I'd wake up and I'd start talking again as if I'd never been to sleep. And I was like, what is so funny? And, you know, he explained it to me. But other than that, actually, my reaction to the morphine, I was fine. I mean, it took me about 3 weeks. I was a week in the hospital, and then I spent 2 more weeks in New York recovering with friends. The biggest thing for me was that I was tired for about a month or so, just really tired. Like, I had to sleep, and that went on for about a month. And then after that, I was fine. Yeah.
How long after you donated the kidney did you become pregnant with your daughter?
Let's see. The donation was January of 99. I was pregnant in September of 2000. And actually, you know, if I can just say, I thought of that as the greatest. Well, my daughter, becoming pregnant with my daughter, and actually my union with Sven. I thought of those as kind of gifts that I received for giving my kidney to Sekou, because I really do believe that. I felt like giving the kidney to Sekou was a walk of faith, you know, and of love. You know, you don't do something like that for someone if you don't love them or love humanity. You know, you can do it for someone you don't know, but then you have a deep love for humanity. And I just knew that when you do something like that, you're bound to get rewarded, you know, and not in a physical, material way that we think of reward. I mean, on a metaphysical, spiritual, on the subtle level, you're bound to be rewarded. And Johanna and Sven are definitely that.
So you said that you think, you know, meeting your husband and having your daughter were almost like gifts in return for donating the kidney. How'd you meet your husband?
Sven and I met actually about 8 years ago now. We used to kind of hang out at this alternative warehouse where they made environmental films and, you know, we're going to change the world and that kind of deal. But we were friends. And then he called while I was recuperating in New York to see how I was doing, a mutual friend of ours said, hey, Katia did this. He hadn't seen me in years. And he said, Katia did this. And I don't have time to call her, but here's her number. And Sven said, yeah, I'm going to call her. That's amazing. And he did call me a few times to see how I was. And then when I came back to D.C., he actually called again to see how I was doing. And we started just going out. You know, he said, oh, you want to get together and go rollerblading or hiking or something? And one thing led to another. So, you know, it kind of was tied into the transplant after all, because he probably wouldn't have even thought of me, I don't think, had a friend of ours reminded him or told him that I had done this. And he said, oh, yeah. You know, we were always friendly, and we would run into each other in the city and, you know, say, how are you doing? How are things? But that was the extent of it. And, you know, here he is, like the perfect match, so to speak.
That's so great.
It was. It was really nice.
How big is the scar?
Oh, pretty big. Do you want to see?
No. Sure. Yeah, sure.
Do you want to see?
Yeah.
It's right here. Can you?
Is it there? I can see it. Yeah, it's on it's on your right side, and it you're very skinny, I should say, but it kind of covers the side of like the midsection.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I guess it looks like it's probably 8 or 9 inches long.
Uh huh. Yeah. But it looks like it healed well.
It did heal well. In fact, surgeon,
yeah,
he said, I'll try to do it so you can still wear a bikini. And I was like, yeah, I'm really worried about that. If I were worried about that, I wouldn't give my kidney, you know.
But that's the thing. People are always worried about scars, but this is probably a scar that you're really proud to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do wear a bikini in the summer, but I don't talk about it much. You know, sometimes people look or they're very curious or they ask even, and I'll tell them then. I guess in some ways it might be a badge of some, I don't want to say a badge of honor, but, you know, of something that we've been through. Sekou and I have been through many things together, but this is something that will always be there, you know. And when I'm 90, I can look at the scar, even without Sekou, you know, if I don't have him in my life, and say, well, we had a good friendship. And I really do feel like we'll be friends forever. We might not always work together, but we will be friends forever.
Katia Stitt donated a kidney to poet Sekou Sundiata. She's his close friend and manager.